Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without any further ado, it is time to bring in Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. You can catch it weekdays. Right here on The Ref, we have it from noon to 1. We also post the Facebook video on facebook.com/960TheRef at 3 p.m. every day. Brandon, what do you got to say to Logan, who was using you as a workout fodder?
Yeah, man.
Well, first of all, it's always nice to know I've actually made an appearance in a gym. That's always kind of a good thing. I can feel good about that. But maybe in January, when a lot of people are trying to, like, turn over new leaves in life, maybe this is the time to do some longer podcasts. People can get that little extra bit of gym time in as they start the new year off right. That's not a bad idea, Logan.
It's fantastic. I mean, podcasts are great in general while you're working out, but to hear, listen about the dogs and some of the, on your podcast especially, where it's a lot of great guests, you especially, and it's a great way to motivate me to kind of push a little bit harder like the dogs are hopefully doing going into the off season.
Well, I also talk really fast, too,
right.
So that's a pretty good cadence to run by as well, I guess.
Exactly.
I have a tendency to kind of have a little bit of a motor mouth there, so maybe that's also a decent rhythm as well. But it is certainly a great privilege to have you listening, Logan, for sure.
And, Brandon, you know, we'll go ahead and dive right in here. The Sugar Bowl certainly didn't go the way Georgia fans wanted it to, and a game that a lot of Georgia fans, myself included, thought that Georgia would be ready for. Not one of these teams that would go into this and overlook the game or anything like that, but as the game played out, it was pretty apparent that it didn't feel like Georgia was really 100% focused and wanted to be playing in that game. What were your thoughts, really, as the game unfolded? Was it kind of one of those things where you started to get a little, as a Georgia fan, started to get a little angry, or was it one where you just kind of expected this to happen?
Well, I think that's a really good question. Obviously, there is a lot of anger to go around when it comes to a Dog Nation right now, but I guess the one thing I would suggest is that the real anger that's out there, even though right now it feels directed towards Georgia, is probably directed more towards the current state of college football, where it's just so possible to take a game like this. And, you know, I was in New Orleans. Is that the Sugar Bowl? That, you know, the hospitality they kind of, you know, throw around there makes the game while you're there still feel like a big deal. But in terms of the way that players relate to something like this, and as I said, not just Georgia, but a lot of college football teams in that instance, the way that they, you know, kind of relate and react to this, it's almost like the actual playing of the 60 minutes of football is the least important thing that goes on there. So I think there's a lot of dissatisfaction with kind of like the current state of the sport, and Georgia is just the latest to kind of prove that the number of games that truly matter has never been shorter. The number of games this season that were truly intriguing and interesting, by the way, including these dud college football playoff semifinal games, that's never been shorter. I mean, we all are, you know, obsessed and love college football. But boy, there is some weird stuff kind of going on in the sport right now where, you know, it's certainly changing very fast, and I guess time will tell if it's changing for the better.
Brandon, your Wednesday show, the day after the Sugar Bowl itself, was very heavy with you interviewing some players in the locker room after that letdown of a game. The takeaway I had from that was that these players don't seem like they're going to dwell on this very long. They're probably chomping at the bit to get back out there at spring practice, kind of riding a ship. Is that sort of how you picked up on that, that maybe the players will not dwell nearly as long as fans are probably going to?
Yeah, I don't think they are. And what I think is also funny about that, Logan, is I don't think the national media is going to dwell on this very long either. You know, I think a lot of Georgia fans are kind of bracing for the, Georgia was overrated. And you'll see some of the, you know, typical trolls like Joel Klatt or Danny Cannell say something like that. But, you know, the overall tone of the national media for the most part is this is just not that big of a deal. I talked about this in the show yesterday, that the people being the most critical of Georgia for how it played in the Sugar Bowl are actually Georgia fans. You know, the Kirk Herbstreits of the world, the national columnists of the world, for the most part, all treating Georgia as if next season is going to have no reflection whatsoever on how Georgia played in the Sugar Bowl. In fact, Athlon Sports publication that covers college football, just came out with its way too early top 25 for next season. And Georgia's at number 3 in that ranking behind just Alabama and Clemson. I know the Georgia fans want to be ahead of the Tide and the Tigers, but in terms of, you know, how the media is reacting to the Sugar Bowl loss for Georgia, for the most part, it's kind of a, shrug your shoulders and move on. So I guess the players probably will compartmentalize this and move on from it, because it just seems like that's what everyone's going to do. I know it's frustrating for fans that, you know, the game that they maybe either stayed up late watching or spent money traveling to see didn't matter, but in the grand scheme of things, it just doesn't look like it's going to matter very much.
Yeah, and getting into, you know, the reasons why Georgia lost this game, it's so funny that a lot of people feel like you're making excuses when you bring up the motivation and things like that. And I've been quick to point out this there these past few days, there's a big difference in excuses and reasons. And I feel like, yes, it can be seen as an excuse to say, well, Georgia just wasn't motivated, they weren't into it. But when there's a track record of this, and Georgia not being the only team that's done this, it's very understandable to go out there and say that, you know, a team like this that has played for a national championship and, you know, got so close to winning it and wanted to do that again this season and unfortunately fell short. So it's just unfortunate that it seems like an excuse, but I really just kind of view it more as a reason.
Well, here's the one thing I think, and even if fans themselves haven't articulated this all the way, here's what I think is really true. I think a Georgia fan would be happy with one or two scenarios. They would have been fine with the Georgia players talking all that trash on Saturday night in the college football playoff semifinal if it had then gone and backed that up with the performance against Texas in the Sugar Bowl to prove how angry they were about being left out of the playoff. Or I think a fan would be a little bit more forgiving of the Sugar Bowl letdown had they just kept their mouth shut on Saturday. You know, if you just want to go to New Orleans and kind of enjoy the end of the season and be like, as you said, a lot of other teams have been in this spot who have, you know, kind of chosen seemingly not to go at full speed, that would have been okay too. What fans are kind of upset about is that Georgia had a ferocious case that it should have been in the college football playoff on Saturday and then, you know, not play with that same intensity on Tuesday. You know, that is a bad look, even if it doesn't last for much longer than a couple of days. And really, I think that's a lot of the anger, you know, stems from. And, you know, Logan mentioned some of the interviews that we did for Dog Nation Daily. You know, talking to guys like Mecole Hardman, Elijah Holyfield, you know, truly, you know, great team leaders, you know, very good Georgia players. But some of the stuff they tweeted on Saturday was not a wise thing to tweet. And I think that privately, no matter what they say, they probably regret, you know, challenging the committee over, you know, Notre Dame and Oklahoma to a certain extent, because I do think it put extra pressure on Georgia to go out and play in the Sugar Bowl, and the contrast of what the players talked about and how that formed, striking not to notice.
Brandon, we're wrapping up. We're now at the time of the year where the season's over, so the focus sort of for coaches at least goes toward the roster for next year. Still some recruiting tidbits or loose ends to kind of tie up. I think tomorrow is Jaden Hazelwood's announcement at his – is it the Army All-American game? Correct me if I'm wrong. But are we expecting – I think the sort of trend lately is that we're not going to get good news from Jaden. Are you hearing or feeling the same thing for tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the Hazelwood news is – probably not going to be good for UGA. And if he does indeed go to Oklahoma, which is where I think a lot of people do expect him to go, you know, listen, we've seen a lot of these guys go west of the Mississippi, north of the Mason-Dixon line, and 2 years later they're looking for a new college home. Honestly, if Hazelwood goes to Oklahoma, I could see him at one point transferring from that program. So this is maybe not the last time we hear Jaden Hazelwood mentioned, you know, in a context of, you know, Georgia, if the transfer market were to open up in a couple of years, something like that. So at least keep that in mind. But tomorrow is also a big day beyond Jaden Hazelwood, because at that same game out in San Antonio, and by the way, Dog Nation's Jeff Centel is out there covering all of this, Tyreek Stevenson, a really terrific-looking four-star defensive back, is going to announce his decision. And I think that Georgia is in a pretty good situation here. I know that Stevenson, who's from South Florida, is getting a lot of pressure to to be a part of the Miami program. But Stevenson's also been really close to Georgia for a while. And so I think there is a real optimistic thought that maybe Stevenson joins up tomorrow. And that's the kind of guy, when you're thinking about potential replacements for DeAndre Baker, Stevenson, along with a couple other defensive back names that may get kicked around here before February. But Stevenson's one of those guys that could really be a big addition. And, you know, he is, you know, going to be still be an early enrollee, even though he's not announcing until, you know, Saturday. He is still going to be an early enrollee to the program. So this could be a big get for Georgia if it does indeed go down.
Brandon, speaking of roster management, I'm going to give you a chance to do something you absolutely love to do, and that's be the number one Gator hater real quick. I'm looking at just some of these early decisions to go to the NFL or as out of their junior year. As of right now, Florida has a program record or tying record, 5 players that have already made their decision they will be leaving early. Some very big names on there, Chauncey Gardner, you know, Jordan Scarlett, Juwan Taylor. Match that also with the only 2 5-stars on Florida's roster was CeCe Jefferson and Montez Ivy. They're seniors. They'll be gone as well. Am I crazy to think that there's a real chance that roster-wise, especially the way they've been recruiting, that we can maybe expect a step back from Florida next year despite all the hype they're going to get over the offseason for beating Michigan the way they did?
Yeah, they're going to get a lot of offseason hype. You're right about that. And I think you're also right to say that sometimes the overall strength of that roster doesn't match up with, you know, some of the hype that's there. And, you know, obviously they look good against Michigan in the bowl game. Sometimes those kinds of things can be false positives. I guess I also, you know, at the attempt of being somewhat fair and balanced, want to, you know, mention that, you know, Florida did pick up a big commitment last night from R.J. Henderson, a wide receiver. Now, I don't know that Henderson's going to stick with Florida. This was kind of a weird deal where it almost seemed like he was, I don't know, forced into making some kind of announcement. He may even still visit Georgia, for instance, I guess, before this is all said and done. He's going to visit a lot of teams. Georgia might still be one of those teams that gets a visit from him. So, listen, Florida's going to lose some guys. It's still probably going to be enough of a roster that I would guess it's a preseason top 10 team. And, you know, on the one hand, which it's going to make the cocktail party, you know, kind of a circled game for a lot of people next year. It's always circled for Georgia fans. It seems like it's going to be circled for a lot of folks, you know, next year, and that's kind of a good thing. But overall, Logan, I think your point is accurate, which is that from just a composite talent standpoint, Georgia is still going to have a significant advantage next year over Florida and really over any other team in the SEC East. And that's the first, you know, ticket you got to punch if you want to get back in that college football playoff. You got to take care of your business in your division, and Georgia is still going to be overwhelmingly favored to do that again next season.
B.A., I wanted to ask you about Jeff Collins going to Georgia Tech. You know, we haven't had the worry about the Jackets in terms of recruiting for a while, just in terms of them not going for the same players as Georgia. But Jeff Collins is a new coach, and he obviously runs a more traditional style, definitely going to be trying to mix it up, I think, for the more traditional college football players, or at least traditional offense style of college football players. On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you with Jeff Collins over there?
So the honest truth is I probably wasn't all that concerned about just Collins when he was first hired. And none of these reports coming up, and, you know, by the time this day is done, they may, you know, be confirmed and may actually be on its way to happening. It looks like the Alabama offensive line coach, Grant Key, is going to become kind of an offensive line slash offensive coordinator for Jeff Collins and Georgia Tech. And I think that's a big hire. That's the best recruiter that Tech has had in, gosh, I don't even know. I can't even think of a time in which I had, you know, that much respect for a Georgia Tech assistant coach. So, from that standpoint, you know, making that hire with Key, that does indeed go down, a guy that's got, you know, some ties to Georgia Tech in the past, would make Collins' effort there a lot more formidable. I don't mean that means that Georgia Tech is going to go head to head with Georgia and win a lot of battles with players that Georgia really want. But in terms of, you know, one or two guys over the course of a couple year span, you know, you bring a guy like Key in, all of a sudden that does make Tech a little bit more formidable trail. Now, there's also a, you know, ancillary benefit of, you know, Georgia's also gone head-to-head with Alabama for offensive linemen. And, you know, Key not being there makes that maybe a little easier with Alabama. But it's definitely a very interesting hire. You know, Georgia Tech has not done much in the last, you know, few years to get my attention at all. But bringing in a guy like Key would definitely, you know, definitely get my attention, would warrant a mention of a show like this or a show like I do, where, you know, most for the most part, kind of gone unnoticed. That's not the kind of thing that will go unnoticed. That's a pretty impressive move there if Tech can really bring in that assistant from Alabama.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. Thank you so much, BA. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week and as we progress through the college football offseason and into 2019. Thanks, BA.
Yeah, happy New Year to both of you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right, that was our man Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.